The following message was given by Brothers Frank Hong and Timothy Hung in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, February 24th, 2019. The title of the message is The Service of the Priests and the Levites for God's Move. Scripture reading, Numbers chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. Numbers chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Romans chapter 15, verse 16. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9.
Precious blood. Lord, do anoint us. Amen. Anoint the speaking, anoint the hearing. Amen. Anoint your precious word. Amen. Oh, we live by every word. Amen. Comes out of your mouth. Amen. Lord, we give this time to you. Amen. We love you. Amen. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Since this past week, we cover a very particular subject. The words may not be too particular, but the subject is concerning the service of the priests and the Levites for God's move. We have been covering the book of Numbers. When I read this title, I thought, you know, the book of Leviticus is more on the service, because in Leviticus it mentioned concerning the offerings and also concerning the consecration of the priests. Also concerning their services, and also the lessons in the service of the priests. In the book of Numbers, my impression is the book of Numbers is numbering the people of Israel, and so they can be, we may say, organized, or they may be formed into an army for God's purpose. And last week was a wonderful title, The Israel's Encamping in Array, typifying God's redeemed people being consummated as the New Jerusalem. So when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the Lord brought them to Mount Sinai. And there he gave them the law, and there he gave them the design of the tabernacle. And there also, the Lord told them to encamp. And that very encamping of the children of Israel, eventually we realize God's view of the children of Israel to have a kind of encamping with the center of the God's dwelling place, tabernacle, is with the New Jerusalem in view. That was tremendous. So God has an eternal view concerning his people. Even when they came out of Egypt, they were slaves in Egypt. But when he brought them out, he considered them as his army. And he considered them, their encamping is a picture, is a portrait of the New Jerusalem. It's truly marvelous.
Amen.
Of course, with the children of Israel, God also set up his dwelling place, and all the services. That was when we see in Exodus, the building of the tabernacle, and also in Leviticus, when the children of Israel, they built up the tabernacle, God spoke from the tent of meeting,
right,
from the tabernacle. And in Numbers, we saw that God numbered them, and God formed them into an army. And they were encamping. But now, when we come to Numbers chapter 3 and 4, here we see there's a service mentioned about the service. And the service is concerning the priests and the Levites. In the training, it mentioned about Numbers, we have a full type of the church service. Wow. Today, when we are, you know, our brother got saved in Salt Lake City, and now he comes back here. We need him to serve. Because in God's house, we all are serving once.
Amen.
You know, later on we'll see in 1 Peter chapter 2, not only we are individual priests, and we are also priesthood.
Right.
So in Numbers, here, particularly in chapter 3 and 4, we have a full type of the church service. And there, in chapter 3 and 4, gave us the picture of the church service. And this service, in fact, is a holy service. So it's not a small thing, saints. When we serve in the church, it's a holy service. Because we are serving in God's house. The holy God is here, and we are serving. Okay, then it mentioned the basic principle of the holy service, that it is without confusion. And because it is based on life. This comes to, in chapter 3, in the verse we read concerning the children of Israel, we didn't have time to read all the verses because it's very much emphasized concerning when the Levites were, in fact, it mentioned more concerning the Levites. there's a priest and there are the Levites. Priest is of the house of Aaron. Aaron has four sons, Nadab, Abihu, and Eleazar, then Ithamar. The first two in the service, they offer strange fire. They were killed. So the two others left. And so we see, you know, that was in Leviticus. So service is not, we cannot be loose. And in fact, because it's in the principle of life, you should not have confusion. And the service, everything in the holy service is under the divine administration. Amen. Therefore, it is in very good order. I'm standing here, every part of me, I think it's in good order. Otherwise, my mouth is speaking and my hands are not cooperating, I will look funny. But because it's by life, in life, it's in proper order. And use the scripture of the wording here is in there's a divine administration and it's in good order. I feel after I went over this message, I feel this is very timely for the church in New York City. The Lord is moving on, and we have now 8 halls. We are expecting maybe number 9 or maybe number 10. And with so many, there's a need, a good order, a divine order. It's just like the church in Jerusalem. There were so many saints there, thousands. The first time was 5,000, then 3,000, then 5,000. So you add up, it's a lot of saints there. We are not up there yet, but we are looking at it, that the Lord may move on in the church here. So we need the proper order, you know, especially since we have so many halls, are we one, right? We need to have one administration and one the Lord's leading, you know. I enjoy the title of the book of Numbers. The title of the book Numbers is Christ is the meaning of life, the testimony, and the center of God's people. So for all of us, the meaning of our life and our corporate testimony and our center should be Christ. And that's why the hymn was very good. He mentioned the last verse, the fellowship and the testimony and the ministry and worship too. In all helps and the ministrations, Christ is all our service true. In Leviticus, the title mentioned, Christ is everything in the fellowship, service, and life of God's redeemed. Fellowship, you know, we just mentioned concerning the fellowship, should be one and should be Christ. And also our service. You know, we have many services in the church life. The service should be one, should be one and should be Christ. It's very good that we have the fifth and sixth graders, right, from all the eight halls come together. And we are expecting that we're going to have the young people coming together also. And this is very good. It doesn't mean that everyone are doing their own things, but rather we are one. We are one for the Lord's purpose. We are bearing one testimony. And we have one fellowship. Doesn't mean, the saints in hall one does something, then hall two does something else, and they have nothing to do with one another. But rather, we are in fellowship. Amen. Because we are one church. Amen. According to the scripture, one city, one church. So it's very clear. So I appreciate this matter that in the service, it's a matter of life. And in the service, there's a divine administration and divine order. So I feel it's very timely for all of us to go over this message. Concerning the second point I'd like to share, which is we may not have this concept, because the title of the message is the service of the priests and the Levites for God's move. For me, I pay attention to the first part, the service of the priests and the Levites. For God's move, I think it's just kind of added words. No. In fact, this whole title, the emphasis is on for God's move. Amen. You know, we do services in the church here, and all our services, we say it's just for the building. It's for the saints. But our God, according to the book of Numbers, is a God active and is moving. And our service need to match him for his move, for his action. You know, encamping of the children of Israel is not just for the camping's sake. It's not like we go on vacation, we camp, right? We stay there. When we finish, we pack up, we go. For the children of Israel, for their encamping, the book Numbers says, the law is the leader and the way and the goal. Right. For the children of Israel, for their journey and for their fighting. Our God is moving. He's journeying, and his people is one with him for his move. I think this, you know, matches us today for the church here. Right. Are we moving? Yes. We are moving because the Lord is moving. It's not that we try to move ourselves. That will be in vain. But our God is moving, and today we are following him. I'm very struck by this point that, you know, all the services are for God's move. So we need to have such a view that there are God's moving and we are serving to match him. For a while, I could not realize where you get to this point, right? Where you get this point. Okay, the children of Israel, once they had the tabernacle built at the foot of Mount Sinai, then they will be going. There will be a setting out, following the pillar of fire, and following the pillar of cloud. They had to disassemble the tabernacle. And when they reached the goal of the, you know, they have 42 stations. When they reached the next station, they had to assemble them. This is the service we see in the book of Numbers. In the book of Leviticus, we see they're serving in the tabernacle, yes. But that's kind of a stable or station. We usually say the temple is stationary. You know, it's a station. It's a fixed. It's solid. But the tabernacle is movable tent. Movable tent for God to dwell in and for God to move on and for God to lead his people to follow him to reach the goal. So this picture in the Numbers, you mentioned the book of Numbers has a full type of the church service. The words are not too much. They are very accurate. And it applies to us today very much. In fact, applies to all of us, all of us. Okay, concerning the service, it's a matter of life. Because in Numbers, it mentioned very much concerning when they were numbered, is according to their household, according to their families. So this is a matter of life. In fact, with all the service, you know, Levi had three sons. The first one was Gershon, and the second one was Kohath, and the third one is Merari. They cannot cross over. They had to be according to their household, according to their families, according to what was assigned for them. So it's in very good order. And the Levites cannot say, I can do a lot, you know. I finished my job, you know. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help the priest. No. According to the word, if the Levites touch the things in the sanctuary, in the holy place, or in the Holy of Holies, he will die. So I'm not scaring anybody. I don't think anyone should be scared. We are in the New Testament, okay? In the Old Testament, it's there are regulations, there are ordinances, but it's for show us it's a divine order, okay? So today, in fact, in the New Testament, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 5 and 9, it mentioned we all are part of the holy priesthood, and we're also part of the royal priesthood. So the Lord needs all of us. But it doesn't mean, you know, we're all priests and we don't do the things of the Levite. In the New Testament, it doesn't say, you know, all of us, we are Levites, or some of us are Levites, some of us are priests. It doesn't say that. It says all of us. In fact, in Revelation, maybe you can read that verse. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, maybe we can read that. Okay, and made us a kingdom, praise to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the might forever and ever.
Amen.
This was God's original intention. It's not, in fact, it's not just for the New Testament sin. It was for the children of Israel also. In Exodus 19, the Lord already mentioned that he wanted to make them a kingdom of priests. So today we are sitting here, we are a kingdom of priests. But in the New Testament, we also, you know, I mentioned there are the things of the Levite they're supposed to do and there are the things of the priest supposed to do. That's in the Old Testament. But today, there's only one group of people. We do both the things of the priest, the picture of the Old Testament, they do, and we also do the things of the Levites, they do. Okay, so this is concerning the Roman numeral 3, let me just repeat that, the burden. The holy service portrayed in Numbers is not for Christ who is inactive, but for Christ who is very active. That's why there were 42 stations. If we say they were wandering in the wilderness 40 years, this is almost a 1 year, one station, 1 year, one station. So the Lord wants to move on until they enter into the good land.
Amen.
So today, we are following the Lord.
Amen.
To reach the goal that he has set for us. Amen. So this Christ, who is very active in his activity, in his move, and we must match him.
Amen.
So we are not doing our own things. We are just matching him.
Amen.
To be one with him, to take him as our person, as our strength, as our supply. In this matter, it mentioned that all the things we do, it doesn't mean that, you know, the Levitical things, we sometimes people think arranging the chairs is Levitical service. But the emphasis here is that even all these things, practical services, should be under the priestly view. In other words, it should not be just something our. It has to be, have the weight of God's service, the holy service. So we usually say, you know, when you arrange the chair, don't say, I'm very able, I can do all the things. No, we have to do it properly. And we have to come together. We have to pray, even pray for the whoever will sit on the chairs, right? They were, you know, when they hear the word, sitting on the chairs, if the unbelievers, they will get saved. That is priestly view. And we, any other things also, even the children, you know, the children didn't get saved. You know, why should we pray? You know, they are not ready to receive the Lord. No, we can pray for them. We can pray for the family. We can say, maybe the parents brought them here. We say, the children will receive something when they go back. They may recite a verse. They can tell their parents. Maybe the parents heard the word. When they heard the word, and they will receive the supply. This is, again, something not just physical, but rather has a spiritual value. So we need to see this. And all the things, you know, whether the priests or the Levites, they do, in fact, in the New Testament, it's just a picture of Christ. You know, if you carry the showbread table, and that means, you know, we need to bring food. Today, we enjoy in the church life, we enjoy the word, then we can minister to others, to the ones that didn't come this morning, and we can minister life to them, minister Christ to them. And this is the picture that we see in the Old Testament, even carrying all the things, the lampstand, you know, the lampstand also shows God's word. God's word is the light to our feet, and it's the lamp to our path. So all this shows there's on one hand, there's a physical side, but on the other hand, we need to see that we need to be under the priestly view, and we need to have the anointing spirit directing us, leading us. Okay, the last burden I have is concerning this service is not just spiritual. We have the verses in chapter 3. In the Hebrew word, the service in number 3 and 4, in number 4 especially, is the word warfare. So when we say the service of the priests and the Levites, this service, this word service, is warfare, the same word. So in other words, our service has an element which is a spiritual fighting. I think this, you know, this is also fits out today's situation in the church life. You know, sometimes we just think some of the saints didn't come just because they have something else, you know, to do. They are maybe sick, they may be occupied by something, but sometimes we ignore, or maybe we are ignorant, that this also involves spiritual warfare. You know, for a person not saved, you know, we have the verses in Acts 26, verse 18. Maybe we can read that verse together. Okay, together, to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the authority of Satan to God, that inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. This was a charge the Lord gave to Apostle Paul. I think this is the charge to us also. When we share something to the unbelievers, when we're sharing with them, we like them to their eyes to be open. You know, before my eyes was open, received the Lord, I think to believe in Jesus was something not Chinese. something foreign. But once my eyes open, wow, I say, I need to believe in the Lord Jesus. Before, I had contact with the Catholics and also with some denominations, but my eyes was not open. I thought it was just kind of religion, you know, it's just kind of you just join, and, you know, to be with them or something. Until one day I received the Lord Jesus, I realized my eyes was open. So even this is a spiritual battle. That's why along with to open their eyes, it mentioned to turn them from the authority of Satan to God. That means before a person got saved, the authority of Satan was on this person. But this is not just applied to the unbelievers. This is also applied to us Christians. We will see this in 2 Corinthians 10. Maybe we can read that together. For though we walk in flesh, we do not war according to flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful before God for the overthrowing of strongholds. As we overthrow reasonings and every high thing rising up against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. This shows, we still have, even our, we believers, we still have many concepts. And these concepts are kind of strongholds of the enemies, you know, concerning maybe how the church, certain things, you know, in the service group or in the church arrangement. We may think, you know, this is just the brothers' opinions. And we start murmuring. We didn't realize our murmuring causes problems in the church life. And all this murmuring should, before it comes out, maybe in our mind, the word said, if we can bring down those high thoughts, and then the church life will be very enjoyable, peaceful for his building. May the Lord have mercy on us, and we can match him in his move for his purpose. Amen. Amen.
The book of Numbers portray a Christ who is very active, a God who wants to move, and he needs a people to match him in his move. Are we ready to move? And just imagine this group of more than probably 2 million people. They are moving. They are camping in the wilderness, and there is no timetable. They don't have a schedule. Okay, next month we're going to reach this city. Following month we're going to go to that city. The timetable is with God. Whenever God says move, whether you're sick, whether you just got married, or maybe your kids, you just had a baby, doesn't matter what your situations are, you are to move. You are to move with God, to match God's move. I really enjoy this picture. In Numbers 4:5, it says, when the camp set out, Aaron and his sons shall go in, and they shall take down the veil of the screen and cover the ark of the testimony with it. Especially the serving priests, when they're ready to move, they're the first one. They have to go in, pack up everything in the tabernacle, and then the Levites will come and carry these things. But I was touched that we need to be ready to move. God needs a group of people who are ready to match his move. Now, last year, some of you saints know that I bought a house in Stony Brook. And right away, when some saints found out, they said, are you moving? Are you moving to Stony Brook? Well, I would tell you a year ago, I would say, why would I need to move? My job is pretty stable. My wife is also not only had a good job, her schedule is pretty good as well. Our kids are all going to a good school. I have a church life. I'm serving. What's the point for me to move? Right? That's our concept. I think that the older you get, the more easy for you to become, or for me to become, set, settle, and occupy.
Right.
Now, all of us don't like to move, right? You have your house, familiar surroundings. Why move? Moving, it's just the thought of moving, packing. None of us like to do that, right? But consider the children of Israel. They don't know whether they're moving next year or next month or maybe next week.
That's right.
They may have just moved last month. They've just settled down in whatever camp that they are in. But the pillar of cloud is moving.
Yeah.
The pillar of fire is moving. God said, let's go.
Let's go.
Are you going to stay or are you ready to move? We need to have this heart to ready to move with the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord wants to move.
Amen.
On the whole earth, even in New York City. Don't think that we've covered all the grounds. There are so many places in New York City where we need to carry the Lord's testimony. So their service, I really want to underline what Brother Timothy shared. Their service is for God's move.
Right.
Today, God wants to move, and we need to be ready to move with Him. Amen. Now, when we come to chapter 3 and 4, we see that as God is moving, the priests and the Levites have all have specific jobs to do. The priests are to go in, pack everything up, and the Levites are to, they're assigned to carry all the specific things in the tabernacle. The tabernacle needs to be disassembled, right? And everyone, according to their family, have a specific task. There's no confusion. Everything is in nice order. They did not volunteer for their service, but everything is done in a proper order and under the direction of the priest. So how do we apply this matter in our service in the church, which is for the move of God? We need to realize that first, we need to realize that in the New Testament, there are no two classes of believers. Maybe let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 again. And let's read this verse together. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for a possession, so that you may tell out the virtues of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Here it says, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. We here are all the Christians. So in the Old Testament, even though you see there's the priests and there are the Levites, but in the New Testament, there's no two class of believers. There's no priestly Christians and Levitical Christians. This is very important for us to see. It is absolutely wrong for us to consider or to practice that only a certain group of believers who can pray, who can preach the gospel, who can share the word of God. We all have to pray. We are all priests. We all have the privilege to pray, to contact God, to preach the gospel to our friends and relatives and co-workers, and we all have the privilege to speak the word that we enjoy and share the Christ that we enjoy to one another. So there are no two different class of believers. However, in the Old Testament, there is a distinction of what the priest does and what the Levites do. And first point I would like to share is that there are primary matters and there are secondary matters. The primary matters in Numbers chapter 3 and 4 is what the priests do. They will go in, they will cover the Ark of the Testimonies, and they will handle all the furnitures in the tabernacle. And what does this signify? This signifies that You know, the tabernacle with all its furnishings are pictures of Christ. So the primary matter in our service is that we need to contact Christ.
Amen.
We need to enjoy this wonderful, rich Christ.
Amen.
We need to enjoy him as the Ark of the Testimony. He is the embodiment of the triune God, and he is the testimony of God. So we need to enjoy him, and we also need to become his enlargement, the testimony of God. He's also the bread, the table of the bread of presence. This signifies Christ as the heavenly food to supply people. He is the lampstand. This signifies that Christ is the light of the world. So we need to enjoy Christ as such light so that we also will become light to the world. He's the incense altar. The incense altar signifying the interceding Christ, praying in his heavenly ministry to carry out God's purpose. So we also have to join him in his intercession to pray for one another and pray for the God's purpose to be accomplished. And furthermore, he is the brazen altar. This signifies Christ in his redemption, in accomplishing his salvation on the cross, shedding his blood for us. So we need to also enjoy such a Christ when we share the gospel to others to bring them into salvation. So there is something that's primary in our church service. And this reminded me of a footnote in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. This is from note 6 on the word, the tree of life. Eating the tree of life, that is enjoying Christ in our, as our life supply, should be the primary matter in the church life. The content of the church life depends on the enjoyment of Christ. The more we enjoy him, the richer the content will be. The content of the church life depends on the enjoyment of Christ. The more we enjoy him, the richer the content will be. But to enjoy Christ requires us to love him with the first love. If we leave our first love toward the Lord, we will miss the enjoyment of Christ and lose the testimony of Jesus. Consequently, the lampstand will be removed from us. These three things, loving the Lord, enjoying the Lord, and being the testimony of the Lord, go together. So we should never think that this is someone else's job. Okay, this is, you know, I'm just a Levi. I'm just handling the practical things in the church life. But preaching the gospel, praying, spending time with the Lord, oh, that's these brothers' job. They are the priests. No, that we all need to contact the Lord, enjoy the Lord, and spend time with the Lord. This is the primary matter. This second point that I want to share concerning the distinction between the Levites and the priests is that the Levites do something practical. They carry a lot of things. They do a lot of practical affairs. Then there are a lot of practical affairs that we need to do in the church life. But we should never separate our practical service from our contact with the Lord. As brother pointed out, the Levites, they do not do their own things. They do not do according to their own ideas of how to handle things. All their service are under the direction and guidance of the priests. Whatever the priests tell them to do, they carry that out. What does that mean, or how do we apply that in our church life today? Well, all our practical service, and no service is beneath us. Don't think that, okay, I'm a brother, I can preach the gospel, I can share the word, but cleaning the bathroom, that's beneath me. No, we should never have this thought. No service in the church is beneath us. But while we're handling practical affairs or carrying out the service, we need to be under the anointing spirit within us. We all have received the Lord as a life-giving spirit, as the anointing spirit in us. So as we're serving, it's not just that the brothers tells us what to do, but as we're serving, we need to be contacting the Lord, asking the Lord, Lord, is this something that you want me to do? Is this how you want me to do it? And I had an experience yesterday. You know, there are a lot of church service that needs to be done. Well, yesterday, the Lord touched me to do something, to send a text message to someone. At first, I was struggling. Should I send this text message? Because, you know, in the church life, many times when you ask about something, usually you end up doing it, right? So at first, I was struggling. Well, if I send this, I'm going to be involved in this service, right? And I wasn't ready to be involved in that service. So at first, you know, I was kind of struggling. Should I send this text? Lord said, you should send this text. Okay, so I started writing the text. But then these words that I, from this week, came to me. Well, are you just sending this text? Are you just doing some duty? Doing some, you know, sending a text message to do some arrangement? This is a practical service that needs to be done. But the Lord just touched me. Well, are you doing this just to make sure everything is handled? Or are you really serving as a priest? And right there, I had to stop. I said, oh, Lord, let me pray for the... I was sending a text to two serving ones. So I said, let me pray for them. So I just stopped my text composition. I stop and I pray, oh, Lord, what about this brother? Lord, pray for him, grow in him. And I just spent some time to pray for the text that I was about to say, and actually praying for the saints that I'm contacting through this text message. And I tell you, I really enjoy it. And after that, when I hit the send button, oh, there's the peace and there's the anointing. That this is, praise the Lord, this is not just I am doing such things. The Lord is, I am doing this under the guiding of the anointing spirit. So this is something that we all need to practice, saints. There are a lot of practical service in the church life, but don't just try to accomplish all the things and make sure everything is done. But as we're serving, we need to be contacting the Lord, spending time with the Lord. And so as we're contacting the Lord, our service will be a channel for the Lord to minister himself to the others. Actually, the real service is not to get the things done. It is to minister Christ to others. And one little example I enjoyed, I'll share that and I'll finish. I hope you will all share what you enjoy. And that is from Acts chapter 6. You know, in Acts chapter 6, when 3,000 got saved, there's a wonderful church life, but there's also a lot of need. So there is some need for the Greek widows to be taken care of in their daily dispensing. And Peter and the apostle says, it is not good for us to leave the prayer and ministry of the word to take care of tables. Not that they can't do that, but, you know, Peter is limited. So if he is serving tables, he will not be able to minister the word and get into prayer. So it's not that they're two different group of believers, but Peter said, why don't you select seven among you who are, and let me just read that. This I'll read this verse. This is the last verse on the projection. Acts 6:3. But brothers, look for seven well-attested men from among you, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint over this need. So there is a need to take care of food dispensing. You know, to take care of food dispensing is not that easy. You know, for us husbands, which is, what's for dinner? We don't care that much what's being prepared, right? But for the sisters, oh, there's a lot of arrangement that's needed to make dinner. But to prepare for daily dispensing for all these widows, it's not a trivial matter. So there are seven brothers that were selected. But what's their qualification? Well, we would think, you know, who's the best in arranging food? Who can buy the most food with the least amount of resources? Who can save the most money? Or who's the most we would maybe consider all these as qualifications. But this verse says, select 7 well-attested men from among you, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint over this need. So the qualification to serve is to be full of the Spirit. This is the same principle. It's not how capable you are. Maybe you don't know anything about dispensing food. But you need to be one who's full of the Spirit to be a serving one in the church. So may we have this kind of service fitted for God's move. May we all contact the Lord. As we're serving, we need to be serving with our spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's maybe sing hymn number 912 again. And as we're singing, the saints who are in different language, you can proceed to your prophesying meeting, and we'll have the microphone set up. And we hope that you can all share something that you've enjoyed this week. And come early, because later on we may have some young people share what they've enjoyed from the young people retreat last week. So come quickly. And if you have come up frequently, maybe leave some time for the others. But the saints should come up and share. Fulfill your priestly function. Amen. Praise the Lord.